Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's Midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
I realize I did that wrong. I didn't throw any insults.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, I don't know, you got some nice tendencies towards Joe. That came out so wrong.
Abe, your check is in the mail.
I got a question for you, Joe, because you are one of one of the nicest people, but you do get into your spats. And your guy Abe here, because I'm gonna call him your guy because he didn't say anything bad about you.
I do have one thing bad to say about him, though.
I just want to know, like, Joe, you seem like a man's man, Joe. If you were to go out like that and eat, like, say, boneless chicken wings, right, would you eat them with a fork, or would you at least be man enough to eat it with your hand?
Yeah, okay. Is someone eating them with a fork? Chicken nugget. First of all, boneless wing would not be on my plate. It would be
okay. I'm just checking. Okay.
But you definitely use them with your hands, regardless. Okay. I mean, do you eat chicken nuggets with a fork?
I'm not saying any names. I was just curious. That was all.
Okay. All right. We'll get into this after we hang out with you, Joe.
Yeah, I was just curious with that. That's all.
I will say this. How little has gone on in Atlanta sports that the U.S. national team losing in the Nations Cup made your headlines?
right? Exactly. I mean, it's that time of year. We're just waiting for this stuff to happen. But I mean, the big headline is obviously the NCAA basketball tournament. But, man, that was disappointing, to say the least. It's been going on for too long with this U.S. team. You hope it was behind them with, you know, the coaching change, but it just goes to show. I think it'll always be with them, this struggle that they have in their own region, kind of with. Honestly, I feel better about the U.S. soccer team playing against the better teams like Canada and Mexico at this point than I feel about them playing against some of these lower-rung teams who are going to play a completely different style of game where they're just bunkered in, and the United States just doesn't have a lot of creativity, or at least that's what they showed last night. They didn't have a lot of that creativity. They needed to score the goals.
Hey, JP, it's about the back end of free agency. You're starting to see some one-year deals, the veterans and everything, and I completely forgot that the Avery Woods had left to go to Philadelphia. Completely forgot about that. And now they bring in a new returner as far as Jamal Agnew, guys that's been around the league, has done these different things. Does that put him as, you know, probably prime one to be the returner? And is he just strictly a punt returner, or is he both?
I think so. Well, yeah, he'll be the punt returner. As for who's returning the kicks, I guess it matters more now than it used to, but you just don't really like think about the kick return aspect of special teams game as much because of the way the game has changed. But yeah, I mean, I expect him, like, his signing is that he's going to come in and be the returner. Frankly, that Avery was not last year coming off of a torn ACL that he suffered in OTAs in 2023. So that's unfortunate for Avery, but I think the thing about Jamal Agnew is that not only is he that returner, who I think he will be the kick returner and the punt returner, but he at least also fills another role for you as a receiver, which Avery just was never able to do. And understandably so. I mean, he was a converted cornerback coming from college. And, you know, in Arthur Smith's offense, they did have some wrinkle plays for him, but that was in an offense that was a lot kind of less developed with less playmakers at that point in time, talking back in like 2022 than it does now. So he kind of was getting phased out, and I think at least Jamal Agnew brings with him the return ability, but also the ability to be a solid backup, I think, specifically for Ray McLeod and that kind of S role that he has in this offense as the motion guy and the guy who's going to take some of those jet sweeps and do some more creative things with. So I think that the benefit of Agnew is, you know, whatever you get that's better than Avery Williams is great in the return game, but also he does fill some depth for you in that receiving room as well that I don't think Avery did as much.
What does the signing of Jordan Fuller mean? I mean, I know he played with Carolina last year, but he's familiar with Raw. What does that just signify, that, you know, he's going to pencil in as a safety starting next to Jesse Bates, or is it more or less they're going to maybe – I know Malachi Sark's probably off the board with this pick, but what does that signal as far as his signing for the Falcons?
Yeah, I think – you know what I think that this signals is how much faith that this coaching staff has. Or I don't know about faith, but how much potential that this coaching staff thinks that DeMarco Helms has, honestly. Because I think that – what this signing says, I mean, like Jordan Fuller, great Buckeye, of course. I've got to give him a shout out for that. But, you know, he is kind of a league average replacement kind of player. But I think that, you know, they're happy to bring in that kind of player to compete with DeMarco Helms. And I think that, honestly, the coaching staff would love to see DeMarco Helms kind of win that job. But I think that it's going to be more of a battle between those two guys as to who plays next to Jesse Bates in the safety role. And, you know, you have like free safeties and strong safeties. And I think that kind of dynamic has gone out the window a little bit here in the last 5 years or so, where you just need both of your safeties to be able to do a lot. And that's what I see out of all three of these guys is, you know, they're not, well, obviously Jesse Bates is pretty much great in every area. The other two, I think Helms has some, you know, he's more of a hitter, more of a tackler. So is Jordan Fuller. But I think that, you know, you have more well-rounded guys who can play in a lot of two high safety shells, and which is, I think, what we expect to see, because that's just kind of becoming the dominant defensive idea that's taking place around the league.
Since we're talking about the Buckeyes, Joe, I think I'd let you know your boy Nick Buzak is currently getting dominated by Drake Ayala at the wrestling quarterfinals. Just wanted to update you on that. Joe Patrick joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Atlanta Falcons reporter for 92.9. The game. Joe, kind of a similar question in the reverse, really. With Lorenzo Carter leaving, what does that maybe mean in terms of the draft? You add the safety. A lot of people say that takes Malachi Starks off the board. Now you lose Lorenzo Carter. Just another reason that 15 looks like it's a pass rusher?
I think so. And it's a little bit different because I think, you know, you do have Braylon Trice coming back. So you're planning on getting some production there. And I think that it makes sense to kind of phase Lorenzo Carter off the team at this point, considering, you know, his age and where this team is and the young players behind him, like Braylon Trice, they can develop. But, you know, and they signed Leonard Floyd. But, you know, I think that there's obviously still room for another edge defender on this team, because that's just like a position where you kind of want to just stock up as much talent as possible. And especially if you've got an opportunity to pick in the middle of the first round in a draft that is kind of stocked full of a lot of potential, great potential in these pass rushers, that you got to take those shots and try to get as many of them, you know, rostered as possible, because it's very hard to find those types of players otherwise. You know, it's hard to, you don't see top defensive ends come up in free agency much, other than guys who are kind of at the ends of their careers who are signing for shorter term deals, because teams don't want to let those kinds of players go. So that's why I've been kind of gung-ho on the Falcons taking that shot. And I kind of see it similar to what the team did at quarterback last year, where they obviously make these two big moves to make sure that they were covered in that position. Ultimately, they are covered in that position, but I don't think it's the way they wanted it to go. But I think that at edge, you can play more than one of those at a time. So it makes all more sense to just, you know, devote as many resources as possible so that you can get this pass rush straightened out. And then, Abe, just to like kind of vamp on this topic of the pass rush, I'll be interested to see how the culture of that room develops now that especially Grady Jarrett has moved on. It feels like there's an opportunity for this Falcons defense to kind of reinvent itself in a way that is younger and just kind of more, you know, us against the world. There's not a lot of prestigious talent here, but we all feel like we have the opportunity to go out and prove people wrong. And, you know, you need talent to do that. And so I expect the team to obviously add in that department in this draft, especially with their first pick.
JP, real quick, got about a minute. United going up to Cincinnati, trying to find a way to get a damn win. How about that? A win.
Yeah. We talked to Alexi Maranchuk yesterday, and, you know, he addressed the criticisms of the attack head on. And it will be a challenge for them going into this game because they're going to be without so many players, especially at the back, actually. They only really have one natural center back. I think we could see Ronnie Dyla kind of cook something up that is a little bit creative at the back there to try to cover himself. But it's certainly going to be a big game for Alexi Marinchuk playing in this one without Miguel Almiron, who's playing with Paraguay, played last night. They won, by the way. But, you know, it's going to be Alexi. It's going to be Latte Lod and Saba Lobchenidze up front, and they're going to have to try to carry this team against a really good Cincinnati team that is up there with the other, you know, the select few MLS Cup contenders. So will be, I don't know if it's so much a litmus test because they are so shorthanded, but I think it will kind of be a character assessment for what this group has, and we'll see how well they're able to perform. But they're going to have to, they're going to have a different look about them tomorrow for sure than what we've seen the first four games.
Joe, as always, thanks for the time. We'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Joe Patrick covering both styles of football there on the WadeFord.com hotline.